Blog Talk Radio.
Call. Good morning, Diamond Donna. Good morning, Gene Stewart. Good morning, everybody. It's going to be an absolutely fantastic day. As I always say, why is it going to be brilliant? Because we get to choose, and if you get to choose, choose a brilliant one. And I was just thinking, this is a very practical call that we're going to do. This is going to be an insight into the realities and truths that what it is that we share, we also use. You know, last night I can tell you that I was tired. You know, I came home last night and I sat down to do this call, to organize and build this call for this morning, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And the last 2 days that I've had 20-hour days for both of them, so basically put in a 40-hour over the course of 2 days, traveled to Austin, Texas, and it was brilliant. As I said, Austin, Texas was absolutely fantastic. The weather was hot, but the team was even hotter. And it was a great time. We did a presentation. We had a dinner afterwards, a leadership dinner that was absolutely packed out. We had not, at the presentation, we had to bring in extra chairs. For the leadership dinner, we had to bring in extra tables. They had to bring in extra chairs. They had to move the room around. I mean, it couldn't have been any better. It was so much fun. And then we did a video shoot afterwards, and Kenny was fantastic, and Amy helped me also with that video shoot, and we did a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant video shoot. And then I had a great time. I spent afterwards, had a meeting with Kevin Sherman. We worked till about midnight, and then I came back, and I had other work that I needed and wanted to get accomplished, so I didn't leave it over to the next day. And it was one of those reasons, as Doug McGuinn always says, sometimes you don't sleep great in those hotels. And I woke up very early. I had my breakfast, and because I knew I was going to be coming down and having a meeting with both Amy and Kenny so that I would have an opportunity to speak with them over breakfast, because they had a lot of questions that they wanted to ask. They were talking about putting together a game plan for so many of these people. And he brought to the table and said, you know, I've got this person. How can I put together a strategy to help them get to where they want to go? And then we came, you know, I flew home here to Dallas, Texas, and we did another video shoot. And it was a fantastic video shoot. You know, we had to find over 20 different locations within our homes so we could have different backgrounds for this video shoot. And it truly was brilliant. You know, we had a sound person here. We had a light person here. We had a camera person here. It was an absolutely just brilliant time when we did this photo shoot. I mean, it truly was a great shoot. And then afterwards, we finished up, and we had to put our house together. And I was going to do a call. I was going to get the call ready. And I realized, of course, because we had to have 20 different locations, that I couldn't find the book that I was looking for. Everything that I was looking for was all over the place. And Donald, who's on the call here this morning, will know, when you're OCD, one of the things is you like to have everything in a place. You like to have everything lined up. You have a certain routines that you like to get into in order to get yourself going. And I was just feeling just a little bit down, so I decided, let me tidy up my office. Let me find what I need to do. And I was running through my head as I was doing that all the reasons why I should be tired, all the reasons why I should have aches and pains, all the reasons for all the reasons for all the reasons. And just at that time, Liam woke up. So he didn't go back to sleep, so we were up with Liam, and we were just walking up the stairs. I remember he was up for a particular while, and the reason he was up was his routine was also out of whack. He hadn't spent time with us, so we spent time with Liam. And it's now about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking up with Sylvia, carrying Liam up the stairs, and he looks in my eyes, and he just goes, I love Detta. And it just was the most amazing thing. I mean, it was those moments that you have in your life, I guess, that every man and every woman and most of us can wait our whole lifetime to have an experience like that. And I remember when we were sitting on the couch speaking with one another, you know, I had Liam on my right-hand side, I had Sylvia on my left-hand side, and then Liam asked us to move around to have Sylvia on it so that he was in the middle. And it really was a fun time, and I just woke up, and I just had a better attitude. In other words, my attitude woke up. So I came down and I said, you know what? I really believe this with all of my heart, that there's no such thing as coincidence. It's God's way of remaining anonymous. And as I came down the stairs, I said a little prayer to God and thanked him for the day that we just had, for the blessings to have so many fantastic people in our lives that I truly realize that I live a blessed, enriched, fantastic life, and that I have nothing to complain about. And I thank them for my family, I mean the family that I have here, the larger family that I have with all of you. And I said, I'm going to come down, and I said, I'm just going to pick a book, you know, out of the bookshelf. So I came down, and I picked a book out of the bookshelf, and it was Your Roadmap for Success by John Maxwell. I just picked it out for no good reason. It was just the one that came to mind. And the first page that I opened it on, which was really amazing to me, I literally opened it on this page, 63. And this is the story that I read. And if I was in a good mood then, I was in even a better mood than I am today. And the little story that I read was about U.S. diplomat and former child star Shirley Temple Black. You know, tells a story about her husband Charles and his mother. And when Charles was a boy, he asked his mother, Mother, what was your happiest moment in life? And she said, this moment right now. But what was your happiest moment in life? You know, what was your happiest moment? He had a surprise in his face. What about when you were married? And she said, my happiest moment then was then. My happiest moment now is now. You can only live the moment that you're in. So this is always your happiest moment, the moment that you're in. And when I thought about that, I really understood, and I thought to myself, you know what? This is the happiest moment. To have an opportunity to speak with God, to have an opportunity to hang out with my family, to have an opportunity in 2 days to hang out with so many of my friends, and to create something that's going to live on and live out into the future, and to create a vision for our lives together, I truly understood and said to myself, wow, we are blessed. And then as I flicked through the book, something else came popping out. And it was write this, a dream without a positive attitude produces daydreamers. A dream without a positive attitude produces a daydreamer. How many of us are just daydreaming? How many of us have a dream, but we don't have that positive attitude in order to bring it into being? Ask yourself today that question. And the other one was, a positive attitude without a dream produces a pleasant person who cannot progress. A positive attitude without a dream produces a pleasant person who cannot progress. But the ultimate is a dream together with a positive attitude produces an unlimited possibilities and potential. A dream together with positive attitude produces a person with unlimited possibilities and potential. And as I read through some of the exciting things that came to me, because many of you listening on this call are going, oh, yeah, that's just Garrett. Oh, yeah, that's just the book you found. Oh, yeah, that's just what that just is. You know, William James, the great philosopher said, and great psychologist said, the greatest discovery of my generation, the greatest discovery of my generation is that people can alter their lives by altering their attitude of mind. And you're going, oh, yeah, that's just one of those wacky psychologists. He's not one of those mainstream scientific ones. He's the one that's out in the right field, or maybe he's off there in left field, but he's surely not in our field. You know, there's so many studies that have been done, and so many people agree with them. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, famous at a time that there was a person who was to be promoted to be the next person on his cabinet. Abraham Lincoln met this gentleman, and afterwards he sat down with his advisors and said, I don't like the man's face. And there was just bewilderment. But sir, President Lincoln, but sir, he can't be responsible for his face. Lincoln replied, every man over 40 is responsible for his face. For he went on to say, when you look in the mirror, if you see a sour expression, you're seeing the outward expression of your inward attitude. It's so true. We do have an opportunity to choose our attitude. We truly do have a choice. It is us that chooses it. And you ask yourself, well, does it make a difference? Here's another scientific study. You know, back in San Francisco Bay Area, there were a principal, and he was involved in this big scientific experiment, and he was told that he brought in three teachers, and he brought in these three teachers and said, you have been chosen as some of the top teachers in our whole school district to be part of this experiment because of your great teaching skills. And we have given to you 90 of the highest, the students with the greatest IQ. And the reason you've been given these gifted students is because you are gifted teachers. And what we want you to do is teach these students, mentor these students, and we want you to see how fast, move at their pace, and see how much they can learn. Well, it's amazing. The faculty members thought this was a great idea. The students thought it was a great idea. The students' parents were just enthralled and loved the idea. And they had a great academic year. By the time that the whole school year ended, it was amazing. They had achieved 20 to 30% more than everybody else. And at the end of the year, the principal brought the three teachers in and said to them, this was an experiment. I want to tell you that those 90 students that you were given, they were average and random students that were just picked from the whole area. And the teachers naturally thought, oh, well, I know why they did so well, because we're such brilliant teachers. And they said, well, actually, you also were not brilliant. You were just randomly picked from the school area as well. And the point that they wanted to make was both the expectation, the attitude of both the students and the teacher had been raised in the beginning, and it had actually changed the performance across everybody involved in the experiment. You say, oh, well, maybe that's just students and teachers. Fortune 500 studies show that 94% of executives surveyed attributed their success more to their attitude than any other factor. In fact, they say that attitude is what will get you and help you to go the furthest. You say, oh, well, that's just CEOs. I'm not sure about those CEOs. A study at King's College Hospital in London said they did research with over 57 women, and they found that those with a positive attitude who had been diagnosed with cancer, and these ladies had been diagnosed with very severe cancer. After they had surgery 10 years later, they found a direct correlation. Those that had a positive attitude and had a positive outlook towards their recovery, 70% of them were alive 10 years later. And the only thing that was different was they interviewed them during the diagnosis and they interviewed them again 10 years later, those that were alive. 80% of them who had a bad attitude towards the prognosis were dead 10 years later. There is no denying that attitude makes a difference. You know, John Wooden said it beautifully, the most winningest coach ever in the history of basketball, in college basketball. Things turn out the best for the people who make the best of the way things turn out. The reality is this is true for every single one of us. It was a lesson that I learned last night. It was a lesson that I'm constantly learning in my life, and it's a lesson I wanted to share with you all this morning. Let's just choose. It's one of the areas where we have absolute choice as to how we are. We can just respond and have a better attitude. When we have a better attitude, we're happier. When we have a better attitude, we're healthier. When we have a better attitude, we can actually think and be solution-orientated as opposed to being depressed and focused in on the problem. We can actually look out into the light. We can look out into the future. We can look out into what it is that we want to create. Because we truly understand that a dream without a positive attitude produces a daydreamer. A positive attitude without a dream produces a pleasant person who cannot progress. A dream together with a positive attitude produces a person with unlimited possibilities and potential. Let's be the person with unlimited possibilities and potential, because I truly believe with every fiber of my being that God doesn't play favorites, that we all have within us all the potential, everything that we need to succeed and follow that dream and create it and bring it into being. So let's have the attitude that goes with that dream. Let's go out there and make it happen. Why? Because we choose it. Why? Because we deserve it. Why? Because God gave us everything we need to have it. All that we need to do is have a positive attitude towards it. Let's be the change we want to see in the world. Let's go out there and have an absolutely God-filled, fantastic, brilliant day today. Why? Because we deserve it, and it's the present that God gave us. We love every single one of you. Have a fantastic Monday, and we look forward to speaking with all of you on the call. everybody. We love you and speak with you tomorrow.
Wow, what a way to start the morning. How's everybody doing today?
Absolutely fantastic, Troy. How about you?
Had a great weekend. Looking forward to a great week. I think it all is about attitude. Johnny, how you doing?
Fantastic. I love life. It is spectacular.
You know, I said you're listening. Doing good. I was listening to him and listening to him talk about little Liam and the joy that he has. And Jim, I know you can attest to this. Having young kids around, having either your own children like my 6-year-old Jetty, who we ran around and saw some of the NASCARs this weekend, or having your grandbabies come in and just sit there and goo goo at you is an experience that cannot be passed up. And I think that's what allows me. More than probably living at the beach or any of that, it's watching the joy in their eyes that caused me to get up every morning with an attitude of, what am I going to do to help them survive in life and leave a legacy that they can be proud of?
You know, Troy, the key in the whole process is the why. It doesn't matter whether it's the kids or, you know, in some people's cases, it's, you know, in John's case, it's, you know, doing something for your parents. But as long as you've got the why and the motivation to do something, the motivation to do it is the key ingredient in my mind to finding the attitude of gratitude to do it with.
I think you hit that one on the head. And, you know, we got to realize, Jimmy, too, that we can't let life's experiences that we may be going through right that second dictate the attitude that we're going to have in the future. Because I was sitting here, and as Garrett was talking, I had an instant message come in from a business partner who informed me that after paying our programmer close to $10,000, he told us, oh, I lost all the coding for your new website. And I'm laughing, thinking, man, what a way to start a Monday morning. And then I'm listening to Garrett say it's all about attitude. And it's like, you know what? Life is about that attitude. It may not be everything, but it's your attitude that will allow you to stay focused, continue to push through the why, and make it to the other side.
You know, it comes back, what you were just talking about right there about the program and everything. None of us are in total control of our circumstances on a daily basis. But every one of us are in total 100% control of the way we react to our circumstances on a daily basis. And, you know, it can really save a lot of stress in our lives if we respond with a positive attitude, no matter how crappy the circumstances.
Oh, man, that is so true. That is so true. I know Johnny last week left your place and drove all night long and didn't make it on the radio show, and he called me and said, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. And it's like, man, relax. It's okay. You know, we all go through times like that. We can't allow the circumstances to really keep us back. I mean, we all go through, and let's just be realistic. We all go through those momentary times when our attitude will just plain suck. There's no politically correct way to say that. It just, something will get to us and we'll snap for a second. That's human nature. But it's how long you stay in that posture that will dictate whether or not you're a winner, whether you're a go-getter, or whether you're a dull, disillusioned, negative crybaby. And that's what we can't be. And that's what I love about Johnny, Jim, is because that boy, no matter what he's going through, he bounces back, he focuses again on his outcome, and nothing can stand in his way. Every time I watch Fantastic Four, he reminds me of The Rock, man. He's just going to plow through everything, and nothing's going to get in his way.
No, man, that's Gumby.
Well, I guess this is the way I look at it. I mean, you guys have always heard this comment that, you know, it's all good things come to an end. I mean, I'm pretty sure every single person has heard that, right?
Sure.
No. And in a way, it's kind of like, you know, money grows on trees. It doesn't grow on trees. And then, you know, who you think I am, Rockefeller? It's that negative spin that everybody's been kind of brought up with. It's just, you know, the way our society's ingrained. The thing I love, everything's changing. But this is the way I look at it. You know, all good things come to an end, but this is beautiful when I think about it this way. There is an unlimited supply of good events coming.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, well,
another way to think about that is the fact that all good things come to those who are patient enough to wait for them also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think everything ends for a reason so another good one can start, you know? It's just, I see all the time, you know, like with transitioning, going through different areas of my life when it comes to, you know, normal work and, you know, also looking at how, you know, a home-based business, how it can grow, like, spontaneously. And I remember Troy was bringing up how, you know, you're sitting there and you're cultivating a bamboo plant. And you, I think, Troy, you said you could cultivate it for about 6 years. And then that 1 year, you know, for a whole 6 years, you don't see too much growth. And then that 1 year, it shoots up 30 feet, and you got to attribute to where the success comes from. Does it come from that 1 year, or does it come from that 6 years of growing it? And it's just anything that you see in life with anybody that, you know, you're putting time and energy into, because I know Jim does that for me tremendously. He guides me, you know, and I guess I'm his bamboo plant right now. And, you know, and everybody just continues to spurt and go where anything can go. It's just, I'm so thankful to be a part of around you guys. You know, I don't know what else to say. I guess that's what this Monday means to me. I'm extremely thankful for everything that you guys provide and the support for our whole team, and also how you're building a brand new way for people to get that much more in touch with support, you know, friendship, and just ultimately leading everybody to greatness if they choose to get there. And I really appreciate being a part of that.
Well, it was Jim that talked about the bamboo plant, but I will take credit for that too, because he keeps watering me like a bamboo shoot. So I think eventually we're both going to shoot up there, Johnny, and he's going to be able to sit back and say, man, that really was a good plant, not just some weed just sticking up out there. So, you know, it's funny, though, because the callers that we get on this show, the callers we get on Aces Radio Live, we that hang out together and really draw energy from each other, it's amazing to me how we go through life and we look at life. Because over the weekend, I had to create a post over on one of the MLM sites to let some people know about some information that had come out, and I got an email response back. And when we talk about attitude, it was amazing to see this guy's response, because his first comment is, you know, well, I'm used to seeing stuff like this from competitors, so I just figured that's why you put it up there. And I thought, you know, here's a guy that did not go and look at where the source was, nor did he take time to realize that I'm not in his company, nor am I even in that industry that I was blogging about. And I thought, it's an attitude about me. It's an attitude about I don't want to face the reality. It's an attitude of don't tell me that there may be something wrong. And one thing, Johnny, that you bring up about the bamboo plant and about Jim is the fact that he is a very positive individual, but he's a very realistic individual. And I think part of that is probably the military training and the fact that he trains chopper pilots. But he does not sugarcoat. When he comes to you and says, you need to do this or you need to do that or your attitude sucks, you know, it isn't one of those things when you get off the call, you think you've been talking to Confucius and you're trying to figure out what the heck he said. He just flat tells it like it is. And then you're able to ponder that and say, you know what, I see his point. I need to straighten this up. I need to change that. Or he leaves you in a position where you can call him back and say, Jim, I just don't get that. Explain that to me. And Jim, my hat's off to you on that as one leader to the other, because that's a lot of the times what we don't see. We even people that we've had on our radio shows talk in such a philosophical manner that I know people don't get it sometimes, and you're just a straight shooter, and we need more leaders like that, especially in this profession.
One of the things, and I appreciate you both and your feedback on that, but one of the things that I've learned over the years that have helped in that is when you're teaching somebody how to fly a helicopter, mm-hmm. and you're literally seconds and inches away from possibility of a catastrophe, you don't have time for miscommunication, for, you know, somebody not sure exactly what you meant to say, or you know how they should feel about what you said. You have to be able to communicate in an effective manner, and there's times and places when you build somebody up, and there's times and places when you need to dress somebody down, but the manner in which that you do it should always leave them walking away with a positive outlook for the future.
See, that makes good sense.
I can attest to everything Jim is saying. I don't know how or why, but I could definitely say that Jim has, you know, it's awesome. I guess he was designed for this. I mean, it's like his greatness was destined to be a part of this, because everything he did, you know, I was fortunate enough to be under his wing before I actually had to go to combat. And yeah, everything Jim is saying is extremely true. Inches away from catastrophe. Yeah, I think I can recall one time with Jim we were like that. I was in the dirt. He picked me back up. He looked at me. He said, "You're okay." He shook me off. And this is all metaphorically. It's not like the helicopter crash. And he said, "Hey," he's all basically, he said, "Hey, let's do it again." And I was just absolutely amazed on how he bounced back from that. And I just want to make a quick comment, too, which I love about Jim is, sugarcoating is definitely not Jim's forte. But, man, I've never met anybody who can coat something with salt. But, man, after you swallow it and then you take it, the aftertaste is nothing but pure progress. So I got to totally give it to Jim on that.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's something there that, from listening to a protege talk about a mentor, I think that's great. And it reminds me, I did a blog post this last week on my personal site where I tongue-in-cheek said I finally written my first chapter on how to understand wives. And one of the things that I put in there was yes means no, no means no, maybe means didn't you understand I said no. And it's one of those things that even tongue-in-cheek, you realize that if you don't talk straight and you don't explain exactly what it is that's anticipated, exactly what's expected, exactly where the end result's going to be, you won't be able to get the expectations out there for people to even understand. And something, Johnny, that you just said about Jim that I've got to just 100% agree with is Jim knows what his purpose in life is. And part of that purpose that gets him up every morning, because when he talks about helicopters and he talks about training brand new pilots, that just permeates. You can hear it in his voice that is a calling. That is not just a career choice. That is something that has become such a lifelong passion and a calling for him. And I think that's why, don't you just love talking like he's not even here? You know, it's one of the reasons I think that he is so good in network marketing is because that same passion comes into his team building. How do you like us talking behind your back in front of you, Jimmy?
Well, it's an honor, guys. Yeah, I'm truly humbled from the fact that you're holding me in such a place, because all we can do in life is open doors for people. It's our job to open doors for people, and whether they choose to walk through it or not, then that's on them. We merely continue to show appreciation for people, open doors for them, provide them with guidance and support, and to our family members and our close friends, it's all about unconditional love. It's like what Garrett was talking about before. And that attitude of gratitude pays dividends in our heart first and with the people second, because it's not, you know, I get to listen to what you just said, and I appreciate that, but knowing that you're doing the right thing all begins with the reflection in the mirror, and that's where we start out in life. That's where we end in life, is the image that we project in the mirror.
Man, that's so true. And, folks, we've got about 30 seconds left, and to sum this call up, I think I can do it in one phrase. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So if you're out there today trying to lead a team, you make sure they understand how much they mean to you first before you try to go telling them how to change their life or what they're doing wrong or any of that. Because leaders have to permeate. They have to touch the heart. And when you do, sky's the limit. Everybody have a fantastic day, and we'll see you tomorrow on Radio for Your Mind.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.